Hello and welcome to episode 2 of A View from the Bridge for the 16th of September 2009. Here in A View from the Bridge, we try to bring you all the news and views of the LBM Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. My name's Patrick Smith.
Hi, and I'm Connor Caldwell, back from finishing my master's dissertation last week. And I'm very glad to be joining Patrick on the show again this time.
Welcome back, mate. You appeared a couple of times over the summer with some good interviews with Davey Phillips.
Yeah, that's right. It was nice to speak to Dave, and he was very, very kind with his time. And I sort of messed him about a few times as well, sort of said we could do it, and then had things come up at the last minute, and he was very accommodating. So I really hope he's getting on well in America now, and like you said, hopefully we can check in with him maybe coming up to Christmas just to see how things are going for him.
Yeah, we do indeed, and we know that there are a couple of people over there as well, Jane and Alex, who will be watching him as he goes along, and they might pop on from time to time to let us know how he's getting along also.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when I spoke to James before as well. Some of you might remember James, who was over working with Fox News, that he said that he really thought that that young players coming through that Chicago system had a chance of making it because really of Chicago's financial situation. So we really hope that this is the one for Dave.
Look at ourselves now for the show today. We'll be chatting about, you know, the games that just passed last week. A couple of issues around the league and also a couple of former players. And then looking ahead to the two games coming up this weekend. But first of all, let's start with the Steelers game last Saturday. Close one there, Fish?
It certainly was. A great crowd showed up at the Odyssey Arena, and it was a good occasion for me. It was my first day as a season ticket holder, despite being a long time fan now. The first time I'd ever stumped up for the ticket, so it was kind of cool going through that little side entrance into the arena. made me feel special. Like I say, there was a big crowd inside the arena. It was good to see all the old regular faces. Everyone back in their new shirts, and others wearing the more retro look. And it was a game of hockey that it took a long time really to get going and to get interesting. And that third period was as good an atmosphere actually in the Odyssey as there's been for a long time, especially the last sort of 5 minutes was really end-to-end and then through overtime. I think the news report on BBC said it was almost 5,000, but I would have thought it was in excess of that. So I'd like to know how they tally up those kind of figures. But certainly an exciting opening to the home fixtures, and I'm just ashamed that we didn't get the win in the end with the Steelers coming out winners on penalty shots. But still, a point in the bag is a point in the bag. So,
first real test for the team at home. Do you think that they stood up well to it, considering Steelers being league and playoff champions of the previous season?
Well, the funny thing about that is that it's been such a turnover for the Giants team this year. We really only have a couple of players who were involved last year, so you wouldn't think that that's really on the mind of a lot of these players who are coming in from outside of UK hockey. You know, the Sheffield Steelers playoff champions from last year probably doesn't mean very much to this year's squad, but I thought we handled ourselves okay. I think the big difference really for me from last season was that we just didn't seem to have that Paul Dennisett, that Andrew Martin figure, the one player who can take the puck on himself, who can skate past defenders and who can create his own chances. We seem to be very much moved towards a team game where it's pass, 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 and sort of looking for an opening. And very few people seem to want to take the responsibility to take that shot from the circles especially. Which was a little bit disappointing, but then I suppose we have to remember that Sheffield are one of the better teams in the league, and it's always going to be like that against those teams. Your skill players aren't going to be able to just walk through their defence the way they can against some of the weaker teams.
Let's get your take on one of the talking points over the summer. You were, like myself, quite vocal of your distaste for the signing of Jason Rushen. Now we've got Sean McMorrow in maybe what you might consider to be the same role. How was his input to the game on Saturday?
Well, I have to say, I was very pleasantly surprised with McMorrow's performance. Saw certain comments in the forums saying, kind of didn't really do very much skating or whatever. But what I was pleased about was that there were times when he came into the game where I think last year there would have been a fight, automatically would have been a fight, but he went in and he was strong on the forecheck. He hit people hard, but he hit people fairly. And there was none of that niggly play that we associated with Rustin, where you knew as soon as he went down the ice, there was one thing on his mind, and that was to drop the gloves. I thought he made a couple of nice passes as well. He didn't see very much ice time, but probably just about enough to justify his contract. So it remains to be seen, really, when we come up against some of the more scrappy teams who have the fighters on their roster. I suppose Sheffield don't really have that sort of player. Reserve judgment, as I will actually, and I remember saying this time last year, reserve judgment on the whole team, really, until we've seen maybe 10 games, we really get a good look at how the team's shaping up. It's still early season, players are still out of shape. Most noticeably, George Iwata actually looked very out of shape until I just leaned over to speak to Lynchy at one point to raise that point, and then Iwata made a fantastic move and almost scored a ridiculous goal. But yeah, I'd be interested to see Iwata in a few weeks. He always takes a few weeks of the season to get going.
And in saying that, were there any players that stood out? Any players you thought, you know, even though it was the first game, you thought to yourself, looks quite handy?
Yeah, I have to say I was very impressed with Pierre-Luc Faubert. People had talked a lot about him before he got here, and certain friends of ours who have, shall we say, a liking for French Canadian players who wear the number 72 shirt. They had talked him up, and I was relatively impressed. He looked like he could handle himself out there. There was a couple of times he was pinned against the glass, and he wasn't taking any nonsense anyway. I thought he contributed well. I thought Nathan Craze was outstanding on Saturday night. By far and away my man of the match for the Giants. He was giving up, you know, some rebounds, but I think the defence was good enough to clear them out. I'd heard people maybe a little concerned about Jakobsen in defence, and I thought he had quite a solid game as well. It didn't really do too much wrong. Craig Peacock as well, he saw a lot of the puck, played quite well. Apart from that, no one really stood out. Shane Johnson, dependable as ever. But like I say, it'll be interesting to see in a couple of weeks' time after we've seen a good amount of games to really get a good judgment on some of the players.
Yeah, well, taking 1 point away from the first game against the Steelers, pretty good. And then we went to Sheffield the next night and for a game in their own barn and had a real smash and grab victory.
Absolutely. I just followed the first period live with your updates, and by the looks of things, it wasn't worth staying around for the rest of the game. That we were very lucky to go in at the end of that first period, on level terms.
Yeah, but it was not the greatest first period of hockey, I have to say. It was very, very scrappy. I was looking forward to seeing this defense because I thought with the loss of Dave Phillips, I had a real concern. But by bringing in Michael Jakobsen, I thought, this could be quite a tight unit, and it pretty much was. It pretty much held the stalemate for that first stanza, because the Steelers were frankly all over us. Had most of the possession, had most of the chances, and I think it was the defense and Nathan Craze, another standout performance, like you said, from the Saturday, and did really well to hold it at that. The Steelers in the second period really stepped up their game physically and started to throw hits here, there, and everywhere, which brings in my opinion of Sean McMorrow. I was quite disappointed. I had an idea that his role, as it was built up over the summer, was to be the policeman and to keep the game honest. And I thought in that second period it was anything but. I thought in the second period we were getting slashed, hacked. George Iwata took a check to the head from Jeff Legui, which Legui got a penalty for, but it didn't actually stop the Steelers from having that physical game. Now, Cruikshank was kind of quiet, and some people have put that down to the fact that McMorrow had a word, but it didn't stop other players from, like Basuk and the likes, having that sort of input in the game. Steelers went ahead 2-1. And coming in the about 5 minutes to go, the game was pretty dull. It looked like the Steelers were just going to hold the puck and run it out for what would have been an easy victory. But with about 2.5 minutes to go, Bassick and Bateman tussled in front of the net after after Ryder had smothered up a puck. And Bateman beat the living bejesus out of him. Absolutely destroyed him. And I think he hurt his hand in the process because he went straight off with his 5 for fighting. And that changed the game. And within that 2.5 minutes, we pulled back 3 goals, very, very quickly. The go-ahead goal coming from young Craig Peacock, and here he really enjoyed that. His celebration was one of utter joy. And then Colin Shields put the empty netter in, and the Steelers fans started to leave in disbelief, not knowing how the hell they lost that game. I was stood next to Big Dave Steeler, who just kept saying, "How did we lose that game? What just happened? How did we lose that game?" And yeah,
it seems to have been a bit of a habit of Belfast teams over the last number of years that we against the Steelers, both home and away, we've pulled out ridiculous results when losing with very, very little time left in the game. Mm-hmm. I can remember one going back to season 2 or 3. I think it was a season with the extended playoffs, which would have been season 3.
Yeah, I think so.
Where we were 3-1 down, I think, going into the last 5 minutes of the game, and pulled it back to, I think, to draw after overtime, or to pull it, to get a point anyway, which incidentally wasn't enough to get to the playoffs. But and then I remember being at the House of Steel about 2 years ago, in a game that finished about 7-6 or 8-7. Same thing, a couple of minutes to go, we pulled back a goal and then won in overtime, and. And once at that season at the Odyssey, I remember being sat beside our good friends Ian and Gavin from Sheffield, who were just sat in utter disbelief. I think there's actually a video on YouTube
of
the end of that game, which you can look up if you search for Steeler Ian and Steeler Gavin, I think. But yeah, it seems to be something that Giants teams generally have a never say die attitude against those bigger teams, and I hope that that's something that Steve Thornton can instill in the players this year.
Well, 3 points from 4 from the weekend is a great result.
Absolutely, especially on Saturday night. I'm sure the team was very down after losing on penalty shots, the way they kind of fought back into the game. And the equalising goal was absolutely sublime. One-timer right in front of the net. It was like something out of NHL 2009. and the Odyssey Arena really got behind the team after that moment. So I'd say there was a bit of disappointment in the dressing room, but they've obviously picked themselves up and they believe in themselves, and maybe things will start to click for this team.
What about the power play? Big concerns there, nothing really happening.
Well, I was waiting to see whether you were going to bring that up or whether I was going to
rubbish power play.
Rubbish power play, yeah. The power play was very dire on Saturday night, and by all accounts it was the same on Sunday. But again, this is something that maybe comes with a little bit of practice with the team starting to gel and knowing who's going to be the person to step up and take the shots. I would just like to see our team as a whole, defensemen and forwards, become a little bit more assertive in front of the goal and take the responsibility on yourself. Don't fog it off to somebody else to take that shot. If you've got an opening, go for it. Yeah. I think especially on Saturday night, we were guilty of over-elaborating on far too many occasions. That I think we have to remember on the power play that you just get the puck in around the crease, anything can happen.
Definitely, I thought on Sunday night I was sickened, to be honest. I thought that I expected a lot more in the power play. Our penalty kill was a hell of a lot more dangerous. We had most of the puck usually on the penalty kill, and on the power play we were finding it tough to settle. And any time we did settle and started the cycle, there was always a erroneous pass that was straight to a Steeler player or straight across a Steeler player who read it easily and put it straight up the ice. And we just weren't able to create an opportunity, never mind a shot. Hopefully something that'll change coming into this weekend, because it's something I know that the likes of Coventry and Newcastle will punish, and it's really not something you expect to see from a Steve Thornton team.
Well, yeah, let's hope that things do smooth out. But, you know, I'm sort of starting like a broken record here, but it is still really early. A lot of these players have never even met each other before a few weeks ago, and it does take time for that sort of chemistry to settle in and for things to gel. So I've no doubt that given the nature of the way Steve had the team drilled last year, that it's only a matter of time before things start to click. And I think maybe once... It's a case of once we get our first power play goal, then maybe people will start to have a bit more confidence. We just need to break the duck.
One other point. I'm not a fan of the new away shirts. Not at all.
Well, I haven't even seen them yet, so maybe you could describe them for me.
Well, I'm not a big fan of this new logo for the 10th anniversary. It's just my own personal opinion. I find it far too cartoony. I know that our own logo is cartoony in itself, but the big comedy 10 with David Longstaff climbing out of the zero is not something that, you know. And then they're teal, but they've got the big LBM logo, and I don't know. I just didn't like the look of them at all. But then, you know, each to their own.
I thought the actual design of the home jersey was quite nice and quite tasteful. Again, like yourself, Patrick, we seem to agree on too many things almost. The 10th anniversary logo, I'm not a fan of it. I think it's something that should have been kept for maybe the season ticket holders jersey or should be on a sleeve. I think, you know, our logo is our logo, and to just go out and completely replace that, I'm not, you know, not really sure where I stand in that, but I don't, the logo itself, you know, maybe if it had been more stylish or if I'd liked the logo itself better, I'd think differently, but yeah, not really a fan of like you say, a bit too cartoony, really.
I bought a shirt in the fifth season. I think it was designed by Gav Moore, actually, a really, really good shirt, and the logo on the back, at the bottom of the back, was just a badge with the alternate logo, the Continental Cup logo, and a V in the background, and, you know, five in Roman numerals. And I was hoping for something like that with a big X in it for 10, but no, unfortunately not.
Yeah. Well, we can't win them all, you know.
We can
We can try, is right. But it's definitely an improvement on last year's, where we couldn't even see the names of the players for the first 2 months.
True.
So, well, it sort of brings us on to another point that riled a few forumites, was the announcement of the Giants on Saturday night as the LBM Giants. What was your take on that, Patrick?
Well, we already know that in the last couple of years, Newcastle dropped the Newcastle for Moblix, and, well, now they've reinstated the Newcastle, while just only a couple of weeks ago, the Sheffield Steelers put out an announcement that they were just going to be called the Field Electrical Steelers. And then they backtracked, and I'm not a big fan of dropping the place name. It's part of your identity. It's the place that you go to watch the team. It's where they're from. You could talk about franchises all you like, but even in the NHL, franchises have a location.
Absolutely. And you'll notice as well, or I'm sure you picked up local basketball here. I mean, within the last 5 or 6 years, teams really started going down that direction where they dropped their original name.
Like the Star of the Sea.
Star of the Sea then became, I don't know, the Whoever Star.
Yeah.
Which I think is a bit of a shame, you know, especially for small clubs like them. But still, I think it's very important, you know, that, like you say, it's part of our identity. Well, it's not part of our identity. It is our identity. And I wouldn't like to see that become commonplace where we're just called LBM Giants. I'd like to see the Belfast reinserted back in there. I know, for the next time.
I take the fact that, you know, when Newcastle dropped the Moblix, when Newcastle dropped the Newcastle for the Moblix, they said that they were trying to promote themselves as a northeast team and to the larger area. And maybe this is the same sort of thing. They're trying to promote themselves as a Northern Irish team. But in fairness, it's not a travelling roadshow. It has its location. It has its home. And yes, we've played in Dundalk, and yes, we've played in Dundonald. But at the end of the day, it's the Belfast Giants.
Couldn't agree more.
But with the a few new banners up in the Odyssey.
Yeah, it was quite a good thing to see those hanging there when we came in to take our seats. And it was just a shame that there was no raisin ceremony. You know, I don't really want to sound, and I've done a lot of complaining on the show already, and I don't really want to sound like I'm complaining about the banners in any way, shape, or form. I think it's great that they're there, but I'm just saying it would have been nice to have seen them raised to the roof in the traditional style. But you know, great and well done the Giants for taking the initiative. And the last time we were able to put a banner up there, I remember standing with a bucket in the Odyssey Pavilion collecting money for it because the team wouldn't pay. And I'm glad to see the team has taken the responsibility this time of putting it up, and it's great. And it's great that those are there for all the other events that are on in the Odyssey, so people can look up and see that we're a successful team, and hopefully that'll improve the image of the team over the next couple of years. Yeah, so well done, Belfast Giants.
I echo that. A fantastic thing by the club to do and get those five, because I know we lost a banner last season due to various reasons, but for there now to be the five hanging from the ceiling is a real coup and a really good thing for the Giants to have. It really, you know, accentuates the fact that we are a successful team in our short tenure.
Just on that as well, it seemed that the fifth banner, I think it was the lost one, had to be hung over the walkway from the top. I don't think there's any more room there. It's interesting. So I don't know if they're going to be able to maybe go around the arena or if that causes obstruction of view or whatever, but I just thought that was interesting. One was sort of like draped over the side of the walkway.
Where are the two league and playoff banners going to go next season?
Well, anywhere really, off the bridge, whatever you want.
Oh well, no, excellent. Moving on, mate. A bit of news on former Giants players Paul Dennisett and Bobby Robbins. Not great news for them, but it sort of has now worked out.
Yeah, it has. It was a terrible shame to see them lose their jobs with the Mighty Bulls. Over in Denmark, seems like the league's going through a wee bit of financial trouble, which I think those of us sort of looking at it over the last couple of years maybe thought stinks a wee bit of the Super League there, that they were paying huge money. Of course, the exchange rate was helping them, but they were paying big money to players. Mm-hmm. And you were sort of thinking, Danish ice hockey, I wonder if they can really back it up. But so Dennisett has signed for Aalborg. Then in the last couple of days, which is great to see that he's found another team out there. Or it's in Norway, I think, actually.
And it's Jody Lehmann's team.
Jody Lehmann's team. There you go. Mm. So a bit of connection with our league there. Again, a bit disappointed. Maybe I was kind of hoping that he would come back here. Now that it hadn't worked out, but I suppose we've got a full roster and. What can you really do? But good to see that he's found somewhere out there, and I hope that that Robbins gets picked up as well. I don't think he has been so far. But interesting that Paul Dennisett will be playing against Andrew Martin. Andrew Martin's playing for Lørenskog, also in Norway. Sorry to any Norwegian people listening for my terrible pronunciation, but good to see that he's been picked up, but a shame that he's not back in Belfast.
Looking around the league, mate, you didn't see the events of Hull and Cardiff on Sunday night?
Well, I just followed some of the posts that were coming on your stream during the first period of the Giants Sheffield game, but it seems like there was a right ruckus over there. So you heard a bit more about it, didn't you?
Yeah, well, what happened was there was a bit of a set to, and when Voth was in the penalty box, Adam Knight of the Hull Stingrays decided to go for probably one of the smallest players on the ice at the time, Tyler Michelle from the Cardiff Devils. And
he also has a girl's name.
He also has a girl's name. But the thing about it is, I think that maybe Knight had thought that if he goes for him, Voth can't get at him because Voth was in the box. But the clock went on, and to an extent that Voth was released, and there was a bit of a melee in centre ice ensued. Voth got a third man in penalty and was kicked. Adam Knight got kicked, and the two of them were sent to the change rooms. Unfortunately, the change rooms are behind the benches in Cardiff, in a rink that's kind of like Manchester's, for anybody who has been to Manchester and not been to Cardiff. The change rooms are just behind the benches, and well, as they were both sent at the same time, they spotted each other. Knight walked straight past the dressing room, straight towards Voth, and they had a set to off the ice that resulted in both benches climbing up onto the plexi and trying to separate them. Some disappointing scenes, especially for two players to fight off the ice, but then you have former Belfast Giant Coventry Blaze and now assistant coach for the Hull Stingrays, Curtis Tessa Sanderson Huppe, who decided to take his stick and launch it like a javelin at the Cardiff Devils bench. Quite disappointing. I'm sure he'll get a suspension for that, as will Max Bibber for swinging his stick at Adam Knight from the bench like a baseball bat. It didn't connect. He was just trying to get Adam through frustration. But yeah, for the outset of that, it's not something you really want to see, especially fights off the ice when you're trying to promote hockey as being the type of, you know, self-policing game that, you know, two players fight each other, then they, you know, unlace their skates and everything's fine. I think the league are going to have to crack down and how they crack down. Well, they went a bit overboard last season with Kozak and Voth, strangely, these two teams again. But well, I'll be interested to see, especially we had this discussion last season about Brad Voth and, you know, did he get a fair hearing? Did he get a fair punishment? What sort of punishment will both of them get in this sort of situation? Because it's definitely something the league have to clamp down on, and definitely something we don't want to see in the game.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. And obviously, I didn't see the events myself, but for any assistant coach at any team to be behaving like that is just... really, it shows a real lack of maturity, really. And I mean, you're supposed to be leading these guys, and so later on in the season, when whoever, you know, something happens in a Hull game and someone wants to go out and knock a few heads together, how are they going to listen to Curtis Huppe saying no? No, you can't do that. We'd just say, well, look what you did.
There's been talk.
I suppose it's a case of I'm the boss and that's the why, but you know. It's disappointing.
There's been talk in the last while that Cloutier might get some sort of recompense for not controlling his bench. Well, there was talk of both Cloutier and Adams getting in trouble for not controlling their bench, but Adams was kicked from the game earlier in the game, so how you can give him anything for not controlling his bench when he wasn't on the bench is beyond me. But...
again, it's a very sort of dodgy area to be getting into, and it's something I don't agree with in soccer either. When you see these, you get six yellow cards, the club gets fined for not controlling your players. Mm. But you have to remember that, I mean, these are all grown men and grown adults who are skating around and full of testosterone and adrenaline and all the rest of it. And when something happens, it doesn't matter what anybody says. I mean, I know from my own experience of playing sports like that, once a row starts, it's very difficult to finish it until the people involved finish it themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And your natural reaction is to get drawn into it. So I don't know how much of the blame we can really leave at the door of the various coaches, especially if Adams had been kicked out at that stage. But obviously, you know, it's not something we particularly want to see. And it has happened. Things like this have really happened consistently, over the course of years. Going back to the lockout season, there was the I think it was Eric Kearns was involved in the huge row about playing for the Racers, when he attacked the linesman. And there was, you know, these things do seem to happen, despite the fact we think hockey is a self-policing sport. These things do tend to happen more often than we'd like. But maybe that's an argument for a different show.
Well, we'll see. We'll be interested to see how the league deal with it and see what they hand out. They've this system will, if they've got a new system in place, it's going to be tested very early.
Absolutely, yeah, and let's hope that it's fair and just, and that it doesn't, it's not full of holes like it was last year.
Definitely. Just a quick note, Viper's top of the league. Surprised?
Very definitely, after the way with which the Giants dispatched them pre-season, but I think they were missing a few then that night, weren't they?
Yeah.
So I suppose you can't really judge them on that, but I mean, they've built a good roster again. It's solid. It's on a budget, but it's obviously doing a job. But, you know, I keep saying it, we're just so early in the season. It's really difficult to know how they're going to stand up when they get a few injuries. You know, are they going to be able to cope with tired skaters, with people with, you know, wee sprains and wee half pools of muscles and things like that that players in this league just have to put up with. There's no option, because there isn't a youth system where you can pull players from whenever they're needed. So, you know, I'd say around Christmas time we'll see if the Vipers are really up to it. But yeah, of course, you being a Vipers media tart, you'll know a lot more about that.
Don't you start as well? Fab's sake, I had enough of this from those other lot last week. And you starting on me as well.
Paddy Judas Smith, as
well. Hey, easy. I know where my loyalties lie. You'll see and they'll see that on Sunday. Speaking of this weekend, two games, Coventry at home and the Vipers away. Let's start with Coventry. First time playing the old enemy, I was going to call him. First time playing the Blaze this season at home. And a few minor changes to their roster, but what are you expecting from them, mate?
It's difficult to say. I'm not really worried about the other teams, to be honest, at this stage of the season, as much as I am interested in seeing good positive signs from our own from our own team, to see an improvement from the last day, to see can we get our power play working. And, you know, this is a lot of the same, you know, faces for Coventry again, and they're well used to this league, and they're maybe a little bit more gelled than our team are going to be, because they have played together. You know, your Carlson and Derek Campbell, and, you know, these players who know how the league works, who are used to the bigger ice size, and maybe some of the other North Americans playing for us won't be just yet. So you know, I'd like to think we could beat them, but then I say that for every single game. I always think we're capable of beating any team.
Yeah, I agree.
So, unfortunately, it's one I'm going to miss myself, because I'm heading off to Switzerland in the morning.
Okay, off to see Sean Behrens?
The French part of Switzerland.
I agree. I think, well, you know, the Blaze, when you look at them, they've retained a lot of the core players that, you know, that everybody knows. You know, Adam Coulter, Dan Carlson, Russ Curley, Johnny Weaver. You know, even Soderstrom's back, and, you know, Danny Stewart. But they've thrown in there a couple of curveballs. Jason Robinson, I thought, was a really interesting one for him to come back into the league. The guy can hit better than the most players. And for him to, but then I don't really rate him defensively. And then Derek Campbell appearing there from Newcastle was a real bolt out of the blue. I didn't see him as being a Tomo type signing at all. I don't rate him that highly. I thought when he was at Newcastle, he was kind of a lazy player, very streaky, and a type of player who, if things aren't going his own way, he won't work that hard to try to fix it.
I have to admit to being a bit of a Derek Campbell fan, though. I like the way he handles himself on the ice, and he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he always stands up for his teammates. And I think he can contribute as well on the ice. So I'll be very interested to see, like you say, how he fits into that Tomo mould here. And like I mentioned before, you know, this team is settled. It should settle more quickly than most of the other teams in the league because of the lack of a relative lack of turnover.
Yeah.
But like you say, Robinson's going to be an interesting one to see how he readjusts. You know, not the youngest guy in the world anymore, but. But at this level, you know, I'm sure he's still more than capable of doing a job. So, yeah, it should be a good game on Saturday. I'll be trying to catch your updates, or whoever's doing them.
Two players probably worth noting for people to keep a lookout for, in my opinion, was our Luke Foljam, who arrived there from Manchester, a player in who went at Manchester, scored against the Giants for fun, always seemed to pop up on a line. Well, usually I think it was on a line with Tony Hahn, so you're always going to get points there, aren't you? But the Foljam seemed to be able to find the back of the Giants' net, and really probably one that, you know, Tom was really pleased to pick up, and I think he'll be a standout player for the Blaze. And the other one being Peter Hirsch, who has the potential to be the best netminder in the league, in my opinion. Had a bit of a bad time last season in Denmark, but at international level, he's proved himself, and reports from the last few games that he's played in is that he gets in the way of absolutely everything. So, definitely two players to look out for on Saturday night. Sunday, another away game, and first trip of the season to the Metro-Radio Arena to face the Moblix Newcastle Vipers. As we just said, a changed side, mate, and this is a real early top of the table clash.
Indeed it is, yeah. Of course, you wouldn't really know that much about the Newcastle Vipers, so I think probably best if I talk about them.
You go for it.
Some familiar faces in there, but mostly new players really that aren't really, again, used to this league. A lot of the same. Ben Campbell's come down from Edinburgh, is that right?
No, Ben Campbell's always been there.
Oh, he's always been there. Edit that out. No, this really isn't working out well. You work away there, Patrick.
Do you want my opinion on the Newcastle Vipers? Well, I've seen all their games so far, bar one, and I'm quite impressed. Wilson's come off the ice and is determined to stay off the ice, and coach from the bench. And one of the things he said back in April was that he was going to cut the dead wood, cut the old men, as people saw them, cut the cloggers and bring in a new, younger, more agile team. He wanted agility in defence. He wanted real goal scorers up front, and he wanted a quicker game, and he's got it. One of the standout players probably being Mike Berry and Jeremy Domish. Berry up front and Domish in defence. Domish especially has been a phenomenon. He's got skills. He can change through the gears coming up the ice. He's got a good vision. He reminds me to an extent coming up the ice as a Mike Burgoyne. able to pick up the puck and behind his own goal and in a flash be on the blue line and looking for a pass. And in that, you know, he's a small, stocky character, so he doesn't get knocked over easy. I think the only question mark that a lot of Vipers fans had was the signing of Michelle Robinson, a player who last season had was a tale of two cities with Edinburgh, where he didn't really impress, gained an injury, and then was ditched. And then he went to Nottingham, where he was there right to the very last minute of the season in the playoff final. But he had a man of the match performance against Nottingham last weekend, and definitely there to try to prove himself this season.
What about Patrick? Some of the younger players that Newcastle have brought through themselves, are they going to see much ice time this year?
Not so much. It's a difficult one. They've brought in the likes of Ross Hanlon, a great player. Danny Pye's been on the bench for a while, but hasn't seen that much ice time. One player who's really impressed and has really just come in on a flyer is Nathan Salem, who is a Whitley Bay Warriors player from last season, and has come into this side and showed like he's always been an elite player. Really good Brit, some really good play from him, and Wilson himself has said that, you know, he expected a few things from Salem this season. He didn't expect to get them all in the first game. Salem's a great player. Ben Campbell is coming on year on year. Again, playing a great...
Not Ben Campbell from Edinburgh, no.
Not Ben Campbell from Edinburgh. No, not that Ben Campbell. I don't know which one that is. He's coming in year on year, and then they've kept electing, you know, Dean Holland, and of course they've got Lobby in the Brit contingent, which, you know, he's back as captain, and despite what you think of him and his size, he's a great player, one of the great British players. So in a Brit contingent, they're strong, and then they've got the likes of Jason Teachma, who played with Barry last season, so they've got an ECHL pairing coming straight into their forward lines. Tyler Kendall, Ryan Marley, two really good defensive players. Now, comparing that side to the side I saw in Sheffield last Sunday for the Giants, I'd have concerns for the Giants, but, and it's a big but, I think that the Newcastle team that I've seen so far are akin to the Belfast Giants team of this time last year in the way that they're fast, they're agile, they'll score lots, but they're not the most physical. And in the last 10 minutes of the second game that the Vipers played against the Devils really targeted the Vipers, used their strength, and, you know, basically unsettled them, because the Vipers, strangely for a team from the Northeast, had no comeback. They had nobody on the bench to try to fight back. They had nobody to try to combat this physicality. And, well, I think maybe Jared Adams found out about a game and a half too late. And if the Giants came out and used McMorrow in the sort of way that he should be used, and, you know, as a one-man wrecking ball, I think that will unsettle both the Vipers team and the crowd, because they'll come to the realization that we've got nothing to fight back with here.
Well, it'd be interesting to see Newcastle without that sort of aggression. To see can Wilson build a different type of team than we've been used to seeing from Newcastle. But there's one particular addition to the Newcastle roster I'm really interested in. If you look down on their vipershockey.co.uk/thevipers, it says Patrick Smith, Vipers Media. So
it's a different Patrick Smith.
It's a different what? Sorry,
I think it might be a different Patrick Smith.
A different Patrick Smith.
You're in good. Yes. Well. Okay. Yes. The Vipers approached me and asked if I'd like to do some work, or if I could do some work for them on a match night, and doing some stuff through UK Hockey Live, which, you know yourself, which you're a part of yourself, Mr. Caldwell. And, well, it was very flattering, and I was only happy to oblige. I know you had some
very good interviews with Jamie Longmuir last year, but what did you talk about off the mic if they approached you? You must have said some very nice things about Jamie Longmuir.
You know, he said to me, do you want a beer? I said, yeah. He says, do you want to do this stuff? I went, aye.
But, simple as that.
Yeah, I didn't know they were going to put me on their freaking website as staff. I knew I wasn't going to live that down from the second I saw it. But have no...
there's no profile up here.
Huh?
I'm surprised there's no profile. You know, it just says Patrick Smith Function, Vipers Media. Nah. Not even like job function.
I think it's a website in process. But the... flattering and pleased to do some work for them, and, you know, get to see some hockey and don't know what else to say to that, really. But
just be careful.
But, you know, I do know what to say to that. Have no doubt where my loyalties lie, and a lot of people will see on Sunday. I'll be in the away block as usual, and I'll be in my usual mouthy self.
So it's safe to say that you mightn't be working for the Vipers after this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's going to end this Sunday. Oh dear. But anything else on it, man?
No, I think that's about it. Good luck to the team at the weekend, and let's see 4 more points in the bag, please.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to get in touch with us here in A View from the Bridge, you know how to go about it. The email address is podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
Or you can look up the website, sorry, but it's been a while.
Back in it, man. Come back in it.
www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. One thing's come into my head. This is my 1-year anniversary, this show.
Is it?
from being on View from the Bridge. I think my first show was the pre-season show of for last year,
All right.
and so it's the first one I've done then about this time. So
Well, there you go.
ha
Fifth
happy birthday to me.
fifth season as well. Who'd have thought that?
I
Maybe
know.
died a long time ago, and we're just still trying to do it. Yep. But anyway, wherever you're this weekend, be it in cover. Oh no! One more thing to mention. Ooh, one more thing to mention. You can follow the game on Saturday night with our friends at GiantsLive.tv. The webcast is there with Nigel and with the legendary Wayne Hardman.
Bow ties at the ready.
Bow ties at the ready. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you again this same time next week on A View from the Bridge.
Cheerio, guys, all the best.